Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in your word. Please give us understanding, give us wisdom to respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's a question to start off. Whose opinion matters most to you? Is it your parents' opinion? Is it what they think of you that you consider most important? Is it your friends and how they view you? Is it your boss? Is it yourself? Are you your own chief critic? Whose opinion matters most to you? Because whoever it is, I think that's who you'll live to please. This morning, I'd like us to think through just one short phrase from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Just these words. That's what we're thinking about this morning. This is a phrase that's repeated several times in the book of Proverbs. So in one place it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In another place it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Different variations on this. This phrase has been called the motto of Proverbs, because this verse tells us where to begin if we want to be truly wise. True knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. So what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? A couple of years ago, I spent an afternoon looking through all the different references to fear in the Bible. And I remember it sort of came out 50-50. There's a whole lot of verses, a whole lot of places in the Bible where God's people are told, "Do not fear." And there's a whole lot of places in the Bible where God's people are told, "Fear." And so there's a good kind of fear and a bad kind of fear. Let me show you two examples of fear as a bad thing. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. And this is when Adam, the first man, had sinned. He'd realized what he's done. God came looking for him. God found him. The man said, "Well, I was afraid. I was afraid, so when I heard you coming, I hid." He had a fear, even a fear of God, a fear that caused him to try and get away from God. It's in response to this kind of fear that John says, we read this a couple of weeks ago recently in 1 John, "Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment." And so there is this bad kind of fear, a fear that is based on some truth about God, but I want to say based on only part of the truth. This fear is based on the truth that we fall short of what God expects of us. It's based on this knowledge that God is holy and that we don't deserve to be in his presence. The problem with this kind of fear is that it thinks of our relationship with God only on the basis of our works. We look at ourselves, we realize we're not good enough, and so we fear God's judgment. And that's what makes people hide from God. You meet people who hide from God. When God comes up in conversation, quick, hide, change the topic. It's interesting, this kind of fear can even prompt people to try and keep God's rules. But this kind of fear will not drive anyone to love God. If anything, they'll resent him for being so high above us, so far out of our reach. Now, that's obviously different to the kind of fear of the Lord that we read about this morning in Proverbs. There is a fear of the Lord which is a good thing, which is a right way to relate to God. It's a fear of the Lord that exists alongside an understanding of his grace. This good fear is not just an Old Testament thing. It's also part of the New Testament Christian experience of knowing God. Let me give you a New Testament example of the fear of the Lord. So this talks about in the early days of Christianity, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, that's the whole church at that time, enjoyed a time of peace. And it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in what? Fear of the Lord. So what is this good fear of the Lord? Well, let's look carefully at this verse in Proverbs. Let's notice something. I want to point out to you the capital letters in that verse. Do you notice in your Bibles on the screen that the capital L-O-R-D? Here's a Bible knowledge question for you. When you read the Old Testament and you see capital L-O-R-D, what does that mean? The capital letters are a clue that in the original language there's a particular word for God which has been used. Capital L-O-R-D is how we translate the name of Israel's God. There's another word which gets small L-O-R-D or gets translated God. Yeah, there's other words which refer to God in general, which could describe any God. But this is the name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. This is the name that God shared with his people whom he had made promises to. It's a personal name. You might have heard it pronounced as Jehovah or Yahweh. When you see capital L-O-R-D, That's what it means. It's the name of the God who showed himself in holy fire. The name of the God who made promises to save his people. It's the name of the God who fulfilled his promises when Jesus came and died for our sin, died for us in our foolishness. It's the name of the God who by grace invites his people to come, draw close to him, to know him, to love him. This is the Lord whom we should fear. This is this God that if we fear him, actually we are on the path to a life of wisdom. And it's really interesting. Maybe it's a thing to go through another day, but you look at the way that the New Testament picks up this word and quotes this word, and it's the same word which is used to describe Jesus when the early Christians insisted that Jesus is Lord. They were saying Jesus is this God whom we should fear. To fear him means that as you draw near to him in love, you also see how awesome he is. How flawless he is, how his character is beautiful and good, and how his words are wise and true, and how his love is deeper than we deserve or imagine. It's a kind of fear which doesn't make us run and hide. It's a fear which fascinates us. Has anyone here ever been to the Avalon Air Show? Ever been to the Avalon Air Show? I have been many times. I remember several times going as a teenager when the Australian Air Force used to operate the F-111 bombers. And they used to have the night show, and they'd finish the night show starting off with the F-111, you know, two engines on full afterburner, taking off. And as it takes off, as the pilot puts the throttle forward, you can feel the ground shaking. And it's so loud you have to cover your ears because it hurts. And then after this thing takes off, it does a circuit and it goes around and it comes in low and fast right in front of the crowd. And then the pilot flicks a switch and he dumps raw jet fuel into the afterburners. And you have this 40-meter flame coming out the back of the aeroplane. And it's like, it's you know, 10 o'clock at night, but suddenly you look around and you feel like it's daytime and you can feel the heat on your face. And then the pilot pulls up and goes vertically right up into the clouds. Now, when I first saw that, was I afraid of that thing? Absolutely. It was terrifying. It was awesome. And yet it was utterly fascinating. You could not look away. And so the fear of the Lord is something like that. But like so many other things, the fear of the Lord is more than just an emotional response to his awesomeness. It's also a choice. Now flick over the page. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. It talks about the fool who hates knowledge. And it says, the fool who hates knowledge did not choose to fear the Lord. So we have this choice, either to draw near to God, as terrifying as he is, to draw near to him and contemplate him, or to draw back and to hide. It's this choice to draw near to God, knowing that we're sinners, but believing that by his grace he's opened a way for sinners. It's drawing near, knowing that without Jesus, without his death on the cross, without his blood shed for us, we would be goners. And as we draw near to him, we reflect on what he's like. We reflect on what he loves and what he hates and what he said is good and what he's said is evil. And we see his opinions and his view on things, and we realize that his point of view is more valuable than anybody else's. See, I think we can say that in life, whom you fear is who you'll serve. Whom you fear is whom you'll serve. I think that's the point that Jesus made in the Bible reading from Luke. He was warning people against hypocrisy. He's warning people against the idea of living in a certain way when other people are watching, living in a certain way so that you can be seen by them and approved by them, but being less concerned about the things that others don't see. Being less concerned about God's approval. Jesus says, no, don't fear other people. What can they do? Don't let their opinions run your life. Who are they? Are they the ones who will judge you? No. Fear God. He sees everything. Whom you fear is who you'll serve. And that's why I ask you that question about whose opinion matters most to you. If your parents' opinion matters most to you, then you will probably shape your life by a desire to make them proud. If it's your friend's opinion that matters most to you, you will probably spend your life and your energy trying to impress them. If it's your self-esteem, if you're your own most important critic, then you'll probably spend your life trying to prove yourself and achieve things for yourself. But if it is the Lord's opinion that matters most, then you will shape your life knowing that He's watching everything. Now, if we have faith in Jesus, we don't fear his judgment. We know that his judgment has been poured out. It is finished at the cross. But we do fear his fatherly displeasure. That is, we can't bear to think of pursuing a life which dishonors the one who loves us and who cares for us and who watches us. And so we seek to please him, whether people around us approve of that or not. This is the kind of fear which is the foundation for the wisdom of Proverbs. This is the kind of fear that gives our search for knowledge a particular direction. See, there is such a thing as worldly wisdom. There are very wise, clever people in our world with great knowledge, with great ability to use their knowledge to shape the world. Ali Abdullah Saleh was president of Yemen for 30 years. In recent years, it's come out, like, WikiLeaks, all these CIA files about him have come out, and the CIA, like, reported on him, and they said his emotional intelligence was off the charts. His ability to read people and predict how people are going to respond was just, he could just manage everybody around him. And yet, what did he use it for? He used it to keep a grip on power. He used it to fight 7 wars, one of which is still continuing even after he's died. He had a kind of wisdom, a worldly wisdom, that took him in a certain direction. But godly wisdom, the kind of wisdom that we're going to be studying and seeking from the book of Proverbs in these weeks ahead, has a different direction. It might have some overlap. Some of the, some of the skills in life that we need to learn, secular people and Christian people can learn those skills, but we have a direction where God's glory is the goal of our wisdom. And so that's why it says, until you begin to fear him, then your quest for knowledge hasn't truly begun. Now, on a day when we have our visitors from Neno Girls School, this is actually a verse which is really important for teachers to understand. It's a verse that's really important for parents to understand. It's a verse that's really important for people who live in a Christian community where there are children and young people to understand. So I think that's covered all of us. You remember, Proverbs is a life training textbook written by King Solomon for his sons. And so what is lesson number one in King Solomon's textbook? Lesson number one is the fear of the Lord, which is a very wise place to start. See, we can teach our kids certain kinds of behavior. We can give our kids rules for life on a whole lot of different issues. If our kids respect us, well, they'll practice that kind of behavior, at least when we're looking. But what about when we are not looking? What about when our kids are on their own and need to make their own decisions about life? If we can teach our kids and our young people the fear of the Lord, then they'll walk in his ways wherever they go, knowing that he is always looking on. And of course, before teaching this to kids, we must all make sure that we've learnt this ourselves. And so this week, as you go from here, you have a choice. Who will you fear? Who will you be when no one's looking? Whose words will mean the most to you? Whose face will you seek to please? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, if you want to be wise in life, choose to fear the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how can it be that though you are a God so far above us, though you are a God so holy, that you also stoop down to us, that you draw us to yourself? Father, we love you and we fear you. As we live this week, please enable us to remember your presence with us always. Please enable us to walk wisely, to live in a way which seeks to honor you every day, in every place. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.